Dr. Randy here from the Intentional Living Center. One of my topics that in my own life, I'm working on constantly, but I know it's an important topic that will make a difference in your life as well. And we call it decluttering your life. It's one of the intentional living steps. We talk about making a decision, making a plan, doing the right thing, you know, the next right thing, one thing a day. And then decluttering our life. What does that mean? Not just the stuff in your closet or my closet that may need to go. We all have some of that. But I'm thinking about the things that maybe clutter our mind, our spirit, our relationship, our finance, our faith, the things that we've collected over the years that stick to us almost like Velcro. And the more we collect, the slower we get and the more discouraged we get in life. And so today we're just going to focus on decluttering your life, hearing some great calls. I had a chance to talk to Andrea a while back, and she's facing some clutter that she was wrestling with and looking for some help. So Andrea, go right ahead.
We have this clutter that seems to magically appear and reoccurs on all of its own, I tell you. It's the computer desk in the living room. No matter how many times we declutter it, take off the bills and the newspapers and the cool stuff the kids made at school, it seems to just magically reappear and reclutter that desk, and we cannot seem to organize it.
So where does it go in between the time it's there and not there?
Some of it gets thrown away. Some of it gets filed elsewhere. Sometimes I just take brown paper bags and put the kids' schoolwork in those just until I can figure out what else to do with it.
How many children do you have, Andrea?
We have two.
Well, they're a blessing from the Lord, and they bring joy and clutter into our lives.
They do bring joy and clutter, and I can somehow keep their bedroom and their toys clean and decluttered, but I cannot seem to keep the computer desk in the living room the same way.
Now, are you one of those people, though, that just everything has to be neat all the time?
No, I'm not neat all the time, although I do like to have things organized and in order the best that I can, but life gets in the way. It's just what happens.
Yeah, you and my wife would get along.
I bet we would.
And it's good. You know, we need to have one person in every family who's concerned about this to keep the clutter mess down. But I think with kids, hey, listen, they're always bringing clutter in from home. I mean, from school
they
or
are.
Whatever.
You know. And I guess my question is, what do you do when all those brown paper bags full of all the kids' artwork and schoolwork finally become a giant pile of them, but you don't want to throw them away, but you certainly don't want to become a hoarder of brown paper bags full of kids' stuff?
I'm chuckling. When I had a chance to talk to Andrea, you can hear in her voice, she's just, you know, she got brown paper bags everywhere. And you can collect all these things that these precious kids and grandkids make, and what do you do with them? Well, it's just part of the question of clutter, I suppose. You're welcome to join in with your comments, 888-888-1717. And hopefully as we talk about this, we can get into the deeper, more serious forms of clutter that we really need to deal with in life as well. Let's go to Jeanette in Michigan, who's up first. Jeanette, welcome to the program.
Thank you so very much.
Appreciate it. How do you deal with clutter?
Well, I was listening to her call. And her concern, I could hear the stress in her voice.
Mm.
But when my children were small, I had three children, and they brought papers home, artwork, maybe they passed a spelling bee, a math test, from kindergarten through high school. I always kept a room in the living room. I had one wall where I'd place their things. All the papers that they did well on, that they came in the house and said, I got an A on this, so look how well I did. Look at this artwork. So I put it in a column for the three of them.
Mm-hmm. How long did you leave it up, though?
I leave them up 2 weeks to a month because they always bring home something else.
So then it would go, that would be disposed of and it would be replaced with the new stuff.
I never disposed of it.
So you had boxes, you had bags, you kept these things.
Nope. I went and bought those little picture albums, you know, that you can put pictures in.
Yeah.
And that's what, each one had their own, and that's what I put the pictures in.
So you put them in albums, so you got a bunch of albums now of the kids when they were.
Yeah, take it to their room. That was to be stored away.
Huh.
But I never put it in I never put them in bags or anything because, to me, when they come in from school to say, they're excited, and they say, look at this. And I said, that is fantastic.
Yeah.
But if I took it and tucked it away, to me, it didn't mean it wasn't sincere.
Yeah.
So I just put them on the wall, and I remember my mom coming to visit once, and she said, why? She looked at everything. She said, oh, my, these are beautiful. But why do you have them on the wall in the living room? And I said, huh, where else would I put them?
That's a good point. Hey, Jeanette, thank you for your call. Moving on here, Jeff, next in Arizona. How about clutter in your life? You have clutter?
I do. Hey, Dr. Randy, good to talk to you. Thanks for what you're doing. I really enjoy the show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
What I was going to tell you was my wife and I moved recently from Tucson to Albuquerque, and we were on one of our trips. We listened to a book on tape about decluttering, and we both kind of got on the same sheet. And this took months. It was very mindful, and it was very thoughtful, and it was actually difficult. But we unloaded truckloads, and that is not an exaggeration. Truckloads, garage loads. I mean, we came here. Our closets have very few clothes.
Mm.
The children have very few toys. I know where everything is in the house. We live in a little tiny house. I know where everything is in the garage, and it's uncluttered. And it seems like once we uncluttered that area, not only did it bring us closer together as a couple, it was a lot like when we attended Financial Peace University and got together about our finances. That drew us together.
I mean, how about your kids? How do they feel about the decluttering project?
You know what? I'm a full-time stay-at-home now to a 4 and 6 year old. I'm retired, and they don't seem to mind, although they bring home a lot of stuff from school. Some of it gets displayed. Most of it just moves, you know, directly into the recycle. If it's something that's really unusual, then we hang on to it. But for the most part, my wife and I talk about how simple our life is.
Yeah. Now, how is your life different today? Simple, but in other ways, how has this made your life better or different?
You know, I just think it just makes us more mindful. You know, we're regular church attenders. I just think it's made us feel lighter and happier. And for me, you know, when I walk into the house and I'm the one that maintains it, it just doesn't take me a lot of time, and it's organized, and it kind of produces a lightness, somewhat of a joy, I would say. But it's been good for us, and now that we've done it, we continue to do it. And
it's good.
I don't know how we did it before. So,
well, when you talk about truck, you must have had a lot of stuff that went off site.
Oh my gosh! No, this was. I mean, there were family heirlooms. I mean, I had a roll top desk that was my dad's, a 1920s vintage. Just things that had been around, followed. And I found a great place in Tucson. Mm. I actually donated it to Ben's Bells in Tucson.
Yeah,
I stored a place that it fit in. So I found very mindful, heartfelt places to donate lots of big stuff. And then all the rest of the small stuff, it just went. And you realize once you do that, you just don't need much. It's just interesting. I know where everything is in the house. I can tell you what's in every cabinet, every box, every drawer. It's great.
Yeah, and you know, I got some people listening. They have shivers going up their spine with the thought of heirlooms and other things being given. And, of course, every family is going to be different, but I will tell you this. There's a point where it's all going to be gone. And, you know, I think about after my mom passed away. My dad had passed away many years earlier, several years earlier. And my mom collected a lot of stuff. She was very good before her death to say, what do you want? What don't you want? Get rid of anything. Don't feel like you have to keep stuff. And so she labeled the things that we said we wanted, a few little things. I don't have much, but a few little things. But you saw all these little things, and you realize as you pack them up and give them to others that they were meaningful for her. But at the same time, there was so much, so many things. And that's why I was talking to my wife the other day. We were just discussing, like you, Jeff, to get to a place of saying, hey, can we simplify our lives? There's things that just can go. Because I do think that the clutter that we hang on to, even though we got it organized, perhaps even in the garage or whatever, it takes a part of your mind. You're thinking about this stuff because it's there. And so being able to decide what's important, what's not important, and simplify is an important thing to do. Okay, Jeff, appreciate your call. We're talking about clutter in particular, not only stuff, but mental clutter. And I think Beth and Patricia want to weigh in on this topic as well. We'll go to Beth in a moment. Hang on. We'll be right back.
You know, that box of electronics is a radio.
No, it's not.
No, I mean that stuff can connect you to stuff you really need.
Okay, totally confused.
For example, that tablet, put the Intentional Living app on there, boom. Works for smartphones too, or that mouse. Just use it to connect the computer or laptop to theintentionallife.com.
And Intentional Living has the stuff I need?
You can hear the programs again. Get connected, grow your faith.
Okay, I'll plug in the mouse again. You download the app on these five devices.
Nobody likes being out of control, but no one can control everything. And the circle of things we can control is actually pretty small.
How we deal with this circle of controlling ourselves is going to impact everything else in our life. I believe that 95% of our success in life, spiritually, relationally, in our marriages and our family, is in this circle.
In Dr. Randy's teaching titled Circles of Control, he talks about the issue of control and how we can live a better life by having the right perspective on what we control. When you give a monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message, along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hi, this is Mark. In Anchorage, Alaska, I listen to your show every day at 4 o'clock. Randy Carlson just rocks. This dude has changed my life. I work for FedEx. My goal is to save every employee at FedEx, and they got a 500,000 employees, so it's going to take a little while. But Randy is just so right on. I just wanted to thank him, and that's why I call him. Oh, also, I became a monthly supporter, and I so strongly believe in this ministry that it's the first time for me to be a dedicated monthly supporter of a Christian ministry. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, thank you, Mark. It's going to take a while to reach 1 million people, but you're going to do it, man. Listen, you're being intentional. I'm glad to help rock your life and your world and allow God to ultimately rock your life and to continue to encourage you. You know, one of the things I was thinking about today as I was coming into the studio, we live in a very negative time, don't we? I mean, the stories, the movies that we go and see are typically pretty down generally. And yet we know that our hope is in Christ. And the message of intentional living is so hope-filled. And so I thank those of you who are praying for us, allowing us to get this message of hope out to people like Mark and others around the world, online through our radio and our podcasts and our events. Your prayers are making a difference. Your support is the fuel in the tank that keeps us going.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy?
Okay, we started with clutter. One of the four steps in the intentional life process, first of all, declare your intention. Be clear about that intention. Setting the goal for it and then decluttering your life is a step. And how do you do that? Because so often we think of only the clutter of stuff, but clutter can go beyond that. Beth is in Georgia. Beth, welcome to Intentional Living.
Thank you, Dr. Randy. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Do you wrestle with physical as well as other kinds of clutter?
I wrestle with physical clutter immensely.
Uh-huh.
Huge problem in my life. But I've noticed lately that I really wrestle with mental clutter as well. I have recognized, due to monitoring my time on social media, that I spend a lot of time, a lot of quality time I'm losing by being on a social media platform.
Yeah.
And sometimes that social media platform might have a marketplace, and I'm buying things that I don't need to, you know, help out on the physical clutter problem as well. But I started recognizing that I'm just spending too much time, too many things coming into my mind that aren't necessary. They benefit me in no way. And I set out to, someone brings up a topic, and I'm just not sure what the Bible has to say about it. Apps are so convenient. Your Bible app is right on the same screen as your social media. I just hit that Bible app, and I start looking for ways or looking for answers that I can know and have and hold in my heart. And replacing the, non-efficient or not good clutter with things that will help me grow.
Yeah. Well, Beth, that's wise. I mean, we are to redeem the time. And I think of the psalmist in Psalm 90, where he says to us that we are to number our days. We could even bring that down to let's number our hours. Number our days that we can have a heart after wisdom. And today, with so much available to us when it comes to technology, and we can be so easily distracted by entertainment that is mindless. Come on, we all do it. It's easy to just fade out. You're tired. You've had a busy day. It's easy just to fade out and just be entertained. And some of that's not always bad, but the fact is that if we don't use the time we've been given, that can become clutter to us. Clutter can come in entertainment. There can be a lot of clutter just seeking entertainment in our life. There can be clutter when it comes to what we read, the things that we fill our minds with. Sometimes it can be sort of mindless. And these things can bog us down and keep us from really experiencing God's best. I believe that. Okay, Beth, thank you for your call from Georgia today, and I'm glad you're listening.
Thank you.
All right, let's move on to Patricia. She has a practical suggestion from Michigan. Patricia, welcome to Intentional Living.
Hello, Dr. Randy.
Well, appreciate your call. Go right ahead.
Organization. I was an elementary art teacher. I'm now retired. So there was...
Oh, so you were the one helping them generate all this stuff they bring home, huh?
Yeah. But I was constantly having to organize the art room. So I'm almost OCD because of it. But with my children, I kept these big scrapbooking accordion files for each year of school, preschool, first grade, second grade, and it went right into the grade file. Huh. Now they're adults, and they get to go through it and, whatever they want to do with it. So I kept it organized.
What did they do with it?
They kept it. One did. The other one's not that sentimental. She's like, throws stuff away. But my one oldest daughter, she's 30 now, she kept it. She still has it.
Interesting.
It's all organized in that file.
So you would take an accordion file for each year?
Yep. And it was so filled, I could hardly close it. But it was a big leather scrapbooking accordion file.
Yeah. It's interesting. When I was talking about my parents, when my mother passed away, she'd collected a lot of stuff. I mean, just little things, stuff. Precious moments. Remember Precious Moments stuff? That kind of stuff. And God love her. I don't know how she dusted all the stuff she kept. But anyway, she was really good about saying before she passed away, what are the things you want? So we make sure, you get what you want. And frankly, there wasn't a lot. You know how it is. You keep a few things. But when I think back about what you did, Patricia, I wish my parents had done that. I can't go back to my childhood right now. I don't have anything that I can think of at home that really reflects my childhood. I did stumble across I think it was sixth grade, my grades. And that was depressing. But other than that, my mom didn't save that kind of stuff, and I wish she had. It would have been, of course, Donna's listening, my wife Donna's saying, oh yeah, that's all we need is now a file drawer of everything had from kindergarten on. But, some of that stuff I think is important. I think to be able to even go back, even as an adult, and reflect on some of those things. So I think that's a really good idea, Patricia, if not everything, at least some of it. So later on, you have a child, like you said, that's not sentimental, they can toss it. And the other one might say, yep, thanks, Mom, for keeping that for me.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So, You know, and we are pretty organized because I'm almost OCD, and the one that throws everything away is OCD. But you have to learn how to mentally break things down.
Right.
So you don't get overwhelmed. Like, my husband died 2 years ago.
Mm.
Well, I put all this stuff in the garage, and I couldn't get rid of it, and you cannot walk through the garage. Well, I said to myself, Lord, you know, let me get through this. And he gave me the answers, and now I'm able to go through and do one corner at a time.
Learning to let go, which is not easy.
Because
but
I departmentalized it.
Yeah.
Mentally.
Mm-hmm.
So I could deal with going through and getting rid of my husband's things.
Mm. You know, I don't think we talk about some of these things that are meaningful enough. The objects have meaning to us, for us. In lots of ways. In our faith, there's things that have meaning to us, and in our families and so on. But learning to see that really the only things that will ultimately remain are people and God's word, and that's it. That helps us clarify what is important to hang on to, the physical things, and what are things we can let go of. All right, very, very good. Thank you, Patricia. Appreciate your call. We're talking about clutter today and how to declutter your life and be intentional. It's time to move on to the fourth circle. I don't have any control. And that's a difficult circle to be in. I don't even have any influence. You know, there's a lot of people we have no influence over. Our ministry can do all the great things that we do every day, and there's some people who have no interest in being influenced by anything that we're going to share. That's why that's the power of the Holy Spirit, right? That's the power of God that has to work in that person's life. I have no control over the weather, traffic, neighbors, and even the prodigal dad had no control over his prodigal son. There's a point in relationships that we move from influence to no control whatsoever. And that's a difficult thing, isn't it?
Boy, it sure is. It's frustrating, especially when you see that if you could have some influence in someone's life, the difference it could make. And of course, we give them always to the Lord. You know, one of the things we're talking about how to declutter your life today. And that's really sort of what we're talking about with that clip as well. There's a point where our emotional life can become cluttered and our thinking cluttered when we get too far away from the things that we really do have control over. We can spend a lot of time worrying and being anxious about things that we have no control over whatsoever. And of course, as I said a moment ago, in all things we're to give our cares and concerns to the Lord, but certainly to those things which we have no control over, and free our hearts to focus on the things that we can make a difference in our life and the lives of others. Hey, by the way, this topic about circles of control is our message, and we're getting closer to the end of the month. It's our lesson for this month, and it's made available because of the generous financial support of our members all around the country. So I encourage you to come and join us. If you're not a part of Intentional Living, do so today. Call during West Coast Business Hours, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. Or you can go online to theintentionallife.com and click on that donate icon, and it'll be there for you. Our mission is very simple. We want you to experience your life in all areas of your life, your marriage, your family, your finance, your health. We want you to experience your life the way God intended. The question is, are you? And if you're not, we're here to encourage you on your journey. All right, since we've been talking about decluttering your life, Cheryl, sounds like you want to weigh in from Kansas. What would you like to share with us today?
Okay, well, I saw this somewhere, and I've been trying to do it, but it says, it's don't put it down, put it away. And like when I fold up laundry and I'll take it to the bedroom and lay it on the bed, and I'll tell myself, oh, don't put it down, put it away. So then I put it in the drawer. And it has helped a lot, you know, just doing that. And then another thing I do is I have files. You were talking about if you have a piece of paper and you might use it later, if you don't scan it or something, you know, I just have like some recipe files for different kinds of recipes, and if most of them are on Pinterest, but if they're not, you know, I just keep them And I have like travel and, you know, a few things. And then every few years I go through them and, you know, throw them away or something.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. We should have a national clean up your house and your clutter day every year. That would be a bad day, a national holiday. Let's clean up our clutter. Let's go through the stuff mentally and physically and otherwise in our lives. I think that would be a good thing to do. Hey, listen, you know, those of you who support the ministry, again, I just want to say thanks, because when we hear stories like Jesse's, it makes it as a way of saying thank you for allowing us to do this every day.
Hey, this is Jesse. I just tuned in and I've been listening for a few minutes now. It's kind of wild how God works in someone's life. I was listening to your show on friends outside of the marriage, and it's been really heavy on my heart. There's this girl at work, and we share so much in common, laugh and joke all the time, and I really question whether or not I should stay in my marriage because of the feelings I have for this girl, and this girl has the same feelings for me. It's been heavy on my heart, and I've been wanting to talk to God about it, and I've been praying, like, God, what am I supposed to do about it? It's kind of funny your show came on, and I just turned on the radio, and you guys saved me. Your show had absolutely just made me say, no, that was an exact answer from God, black and white. I need to just drop this because it's not good. I love my wife. My wife's done nothing wrong to deserve any of this.
Hey, listen, maybe you've heard that testimony before. Jesse shared that story with us some time ago, and it's always been an encouragement to know that what you're supporting is making a difference in someone's life. And I was thinking as he was talking about, I've been wanting to pray about it and so on. You know, there are things in our life that we need to pray about. But being disobedient to God or damaging our marriage or our family or our health, we don't need to pray about it. We just need to do what we know is the right thing to do based on God's intention for our life. Like he said, we try to be as straightforward, black and white as we can when it comes to what we understand Scripture to teach. We really focus on, many times, it's problem solving. There's an issue being faced in your life, and we want to help you solve that problem and to really experience God's best and His healing and His help and His encouragement. And that's why we do this. And because of the financial support of so many, we can help Jesse and others. So thank you for praying about it. Call 888-888-1717 or go online to theintentionallife.com. And your support is making a difference, allowing us to continue to impact people through our intentional living ministry. Today, I hope you got some help on decluttering your life. I'm Dr. Randy for Stephen and Jennifer. Have a great day. See you next time from Intentional Living, Ministry of Intentional Life Media.